I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Well, this week, the American Psychiatric Association unveiled the fifth edition of what's called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. That's known shortly as DSM-5, the fifth version. Yesterday, we spoke to Dr. Alan Francis, who helped write the fourth edition of the DSM. He's since become a major critic. Listen.
We have a crazy system in which non-experts are doing most of the prescribing after very short visits without really knowing the patient. The intervention is given way too early, and often once a diagnosis is given, it's very hard to take away. Once medicine is started, even if it's unnecessary, it'll be given for a very, very long time.
Now, we're hearing from you on this. Cindy, a counselor in Seattle, is concerned about the rigid categories in mental health diagnosis. Cindy wrote this on thetakeaway.org. Since each person and his or her immediate life context are unique, of course, the designation of mental illness is quite arbitrary and ephemeral. It's sad that so many people see mental illness as an open or shut door. They think you should either have it or you don't, but it's not so, not at all. Well, our next guest, the incoming president of the American Psychiatric Association, says all of his criticism is unwarranted. He's Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman. He's chair of psychiatry at Columbia University here in New York. Thanks for joining us, doctor.
My pleasure.
Now, Dr. Lieberman, I started my career in the medical trade press at a paper called Clinical Psychiatry News. The DSM-3 was controversial then. The DSM-5 is even more controversial now. What is it about the labeling and categorization of these mental disorders that has so many people, including your colleagues, writing it off?
Well, it is controversial, but frankly, it shouldn't be. The DSM is simply a guide which is created to assist clinicians, mental health care, and healthcare providers to recognize signs and symptoms in people who are suffering from disturbances in mental function or behavioral problems in order to establish the most accurate diagnoses and guide treatment. And the fifth edition of DSM-5 represents what is an updating and a modest revision to the previous versions. As to why it's created this great deal of attention and debate and controversy, I think the root of it is really that the notion of mental illness has historically been not well understood and largely been stigmatized. And this makes any change in something that is a subject of some sensitivity something of great attention, and people have different opinions.
Well, Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman, of course, the stigma of mental illness has been a major problem for centuries. Millions, hundreds of millions of people who could have used treatment never got it, and that's tragic. As you know, on the other side of this coin is a book that now suggests that half of us walking around could have a diagnosable disorder, and maybe the opposite side of the coin, from stigmatization is labeling everybody. Hey, everyone's a candidate. And by the way, everyone's a candidate to avail themselves of our industry. You understand that skepticism.
Right. But I mean, let me just say that it's just flatly wrong to say that the development or refinement of the diagnostic manual is an effort to pathologize normal behavior, to expand the number of the population that get diagnosis. That's absolutely untrue. We all are at risk for various illnesses, whether it's the flu, pneumonia, hypertension, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease. The process of trying to refine the diagnosis is to make them ever more accurate and more representative of the true condition which is being caused by disturbances of the brain or the effects of environment on mental function. If you look at the history of medical science and the evolution of the International Classification of Diseases, which is produced by the World Health Organization and is the diagnostic system that all physicians in all countries utilize for all disease areas, that has, and it's currently in its 10th edition, that has increased by 8%. Per new edition. This is the nature of science. In 1840, when the U.S. made its first attempt to determine the frequency of disease and mental dysfunction in the population, it had two diagnoses, idiocy and insanity. And since then, medical research has enabled the different forms of intellectual disability that are genetically or environmentally caused to be disentangled into autism, into Prader-Willi syndrome, into Rett syndrome, into Down syndrome. And insanity has been disentangled through research into schizophrenia, into bipolar disorder, into depression. It's the nature of progress. The DSM-5 doesn't have any more diagnoses than DSM-4 had. It didn't expand the pie. It simply sliced the pie into more precise pieces.
So more refinement, and we understand so much more than we used to, and that point is clear. But look, Dr. Lieberman, the National Institutes for Mental Health has said they won't be using your manual. You're aware of that. One of the criticisms, especially coming from the rapidly expanding world of neuroscience, is that all of these diagnoses, while valuable, don't say enough about the brain. They don't say enough about treatment and about neuropsychological treatments, and don't really guide professionals in effective treatment. They just put sticky labels on everything.
Psychiatrists in general and the DSM task force specifically would have liked nothing more when they began this effort 10 years ago to have had genes, diagnostic laboratory tests, x-rays, electrophysiologic measures that could be used to diagnose the conditions or to attach the diagnosis of schizophrenia, depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, to specific neurobiologic factors. That would have been the greatest advance that we could have hoped for. But they pored over the literature, all the scientific evidence, and unfortunately, scientific progress has not brought us to that point. The brain is a very complex organ. Mental disorders are disturbances of the most highly evolved parts of the brain, and they've proved to be challenging. I wish the NIMH's research budget were doubled or tripled so that we could make more rapid progress, and that would occasion a more substantive change in the DSM.
The DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders of the American Psychiatric Association, has always been controversial. That controversy has increased and is probably larger than ever with the new release of DSM-5, the fifth edition. Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman is chair of psychiatry at Columbia University and the incoming president of the American Psychiatric Association. Dr. Lieberman, thank you so much.
Good to be with you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.